Exodus chapter 20. We'll be looking at verse 15 this morning, as you most likely know well. It's like the Lord, as we've gone through these commandments one at a time, week by week, the Lord has us basically sitting at the foot of Mount Sinai, and He's thundering down His law. He's revealing to us His holiness, His righteousness, His perfectness that is revealed in this law. And as we hear it, it's hard to hear sometimes because it reveals to us just how much we fall short of who God is. But instead of driving us away from the Lord, it actually should cause us to flee to the Lord, to the Christ, the only one who can make us right and make us perfect and make us holy. So this perfect law of God has so many wonderful purposes, as He has a setting underneath of it. And as He's got us here in this time, going just through it one at a time, I have been blessed to just take our time and sit under these perfect words, these 10 words, as it's often called, of the Ten Commandments. And I pray you are too. And as we prepare to look at this eighth commandment, we sang those last two songs, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and "It is Well with My Soul." You know, they really have a lot to do with how we would even begin to obey this commandment. Remembering how faithful God is and what He's faithful to do. So be thinking about that, even in, you know, "It is Well with My Soul." What has God provided in that song as we sing that? And boy, it makes a difference when we really mean it, doesn't it, when we sing? Did y'all hear that difference? When we really mean it, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing to see the Lord praise and worship. Verse 15, the word of the Lord says this, simply, "You shall not steal." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we have come before You in Your perfect word, Your perfect law, which just reveals how holy You are. And You're just revealing it one word at a time, one commandment at a time. And Father, we must confess, as we said, under the weight of it, that we are not holy. We are not perfect in and of ourselves. We fall short. We are sinful. We break each and every one of these many times. Father, I pray that You would once again speak to us through this word, this eighth commandment. And Lord, You would reveal who You are and who we are. Father, because You are perfect in Your loving kindness too, I pray You would use it to draw us nearer to You, to show us how You who are holy and perfect, that yet, even though we are great sinners, You have provided a way for us to be made right with You. And it's in Your Son alone. There's no righteousness in us. So, Father, help us to make much of Your grace this morning. Cause us to worship You for the indescribable gift we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have given us all we need. Help us to see that and live according to that. All to the praise of the glory of Your name, Father. Amen. Well, as I have said here before, if you know Ray Comfort and Way of the Master Ministries, they use the Ten Commandments to evangelize, right? So these are always very familiar to me as I go through these, because what they do is they just take a few of them and they ask people if they've kept these commandments, and their purpose is to get people to see really that they haven't and that they're guilty before the Lord if they're honest with His Word. And so myself, seeing that as very biblical tool and a useful tool, I'll use this myself when I evangelize many times. And here's what I found is that as I use these, I will most always use this commandment, "Have you ever stolen anything?" But I believe this is probably the commandment that is hardest to get people to admit that they've broken. I mean, you can ask them if they've stolen anything and they are adamant, "No, I don't believe that. That is wrong. I have never stolen anything in my life. I just don't do that." And even when I qualify with, you know, like, well, it even includes, you know, smaller things and things we were younger, and still I get a good group of people, nope, nope, I do not steal, right? I do not steal. Now, why is that? Well, outside of the truth that in our sinful hearts, we don't want to see our sin, period. Outside of that, that's just a general rule for all sin. With this commandment, I think most people, and we'll see even Christians, we want to associate this with just basically those big crimes, right? That armed robbery, that's what it means to steal. Or robbing a gas station is one I always like to use, right? I haven't robbed a gas station, so therefore I have not broken this commandment. That's what we like to put it in the box of these things that we think we can keep. But brothers and sisters, if we examine this, we open it up like we have every commandment, we're going to see that it's much more than not robbing a gas station, right? Truth is, all people steal, and they steal often. And so what I want us to do is to go through this commandment as we have been, unpack it, and use these very useful questions that we've been doing is what, why, and how, right? What does this commandment really mean? Why should we obey it? And then how do we go about obeying it once it's revealed to us what it is? So let's always begin where we always do with the what. What does it really mean to steal? Well, in its simplest form, right, it means that you take something that doesn't belong to you, right? That in a nutshell is what it is. The Hebrew word is ganaf, and it literally means to carry away in stealth, right? Carry away in stealth. Now, right away when you hear that, our minds go to what I was just talking about. We want to associate this with those conventional terms for stealing, those big crimes that if you do them and you get convicted of them, you can do some serious time for, right? We know that burglary is part of this. That's when we break into a home or a building and take something out of it that's not ours. We want to think of robbery, as I just alluded to, robbing a gas station, and that's taken from somebody face to face, either through force or intimidation or violence, right? We think of shoplifting when we go in. And we go in during hours, business hours, and take something out without paying for it. We think of pickpocketing and purse snatching. Might even think of the more exotic ones like embezzlement, right? When you have things given to you to take care of, they're not yours, and then you misuse them and take them for yourself, right? We think of extortion. When you actually take from somebody through threat of violence or abuse of authority, larceny, racketeering, all these, that there's these actual laws against on the books. We all know, yeah, that is stealing, that is breaking this commandment. But the truth is it goes way past just these ones that have crimes on the books. Truthfully, the ways that we steal and the ways people steal are countless. And people and organizations steal from each other every day, right? Every day. Just think of the way we steal just public property, right? When we take goods from hospitals or from churches or from hotels, and we take them for our own personal use, taking things that don't belong to us, right? They belong to those public entities. There was one hotel that reported in 1 year they had to replace 38,000 spoons. Wow. 18,000 tiles. I don't get that one. But 18,000, I don't know if they were taking them off the shower wall or what they were doing, but 18,000 tiles, 355 coffee pots, and 100 Bibles. I remember watching an interview with a man by the name of Kimmons Wilson. If you don't know who that is, he's a man. He's long since passed away, but he's the one that started the Holiday Inns. And he was on an interview with Merv Griffin. Now, if you know, remember who Merv Griffin is, you know, that's way back there. But he was on an interview with Merv Griffin, and he was talking about how they came up with the idea to put the big H on the hotel towels, right? That was back in the day when most people still dried their clothes on an outside clothesline. And he said they put the big H on there because they thought that perhaps more people would be too embarrassed to steal the towels, right? Because they actually had to hang them out and let their neighbors see them. It just tells you how much people will just take stuff, right? and not even consider it stealing, but it is. People also steal from the government. Anytime we misrepresent ourselves on tax returns in order to get more money back, we're stealing from the government, right? Anytime we file false disability claims or unemployment claims, right, or things of that nature, we're stealing from the government. Then the government steals from us, right? I mean, anytime the government is overspending, spending way too much money on something. I mean, you hear these reports of the government spending, you know, $20,000 on a toilet or something crazy like that. That's stealing, using money unnecessarily. It is a form of theft. And when the government just gross overspending, when they're borrowing millions and billions of dollars they don't have the purpose of paying that back. They never think they're going to pay that back. That is stealing from the people, from future generations. And then you have the whole philosophy of socialist and communist governments. They are built on the foundation of a philosophy of theft, right? Because it's all based on taking from one or group of people and giving it to others. Now, it's always put forward as this compassionate thing, right? Oh, we're going to take from the wealthy and give to the poor. It doesn't matter who you're taking from and giving from. If you take it without their permission, it's theft. And I don't care if the majority voted for it. It's still theft, right? Take three people. You've got three people. Put them in a room. One of them has $1 million. The other two don't have any money. I don't care if the two that didn't have any money voted to take the guy that had $1 million money and split it between themselves. Guess what that is? That's theft. So these are just ways that the government steals from us. That's not it. We also steal from our employers, don't we? Anytime we would put in a false time card, misrepresent our hours, that's stealing from the company. Anytime we would pad our expense account, that's stealing from the company. I remember when I worked for a company called Southern States, and we would have to go on trips every once in a while. I would go with fellow managers, and it was back in the day. I don't know, you know, I guess maybe people were supposed to be more honest or whatever, but they didn't have to turn in receipts as long as it was under $25 for a meal. And we would go out and eat, and you know, there were several of the guys that would, you know, $24.99. is what they paid for a meal. They would do the max, even though they didn't really spend that much. So those are ways that you steal from employers. You see what I'm saying? They only spent $12, but they reported $25. They get more money than they really spent. But I think the biggest way we steal from employers is just by wasting time that we're getting paid for. You know, anytime we're at work and we're getting paid to do a job, and we're spending time on the internet browsing, or we're spending time playing computer games, or we're spending time texting or emailing, or just doing nothing, right? We're actually stealing from the people that are paying for our productivity. You see how the ways just begin to mushroom as we go through this. And then there's the way the companies, right, steal from the employees or just the public in general. I mean, anytime a company cooks the books or fudges the numbers to make it look financially better, they're actually stealing probably from their employees and the public in general. Then there's false advertising. Then there's deceptive packaging. Anybody ever like me and get disappointed when you open a bag of potato chips and there's only about half a bag in there? I mean, you know, things of that nature. And then there's when they encourage salesmen to sell things to people they don't really need, or over-exaggerate the usefulness or quality of a product. Anytime there's deception involved in that, brothers and sisters, we're gaining an advantage on somebody for the purpose of taking for ourselves, and that's theft. There's the whole credit industry. Whenever credit companies charge very high interest rates just because they can get away with it and earn more profits, that's stealing. Anytime somebody borrows money with the intention of never paying it back from them, that's stealing, right? False insurance claims. downloading copyrighted things from the internet without paying for them, plagiarism. That you can even steal somebody's identity today. You see how there's all these ways. And then there's just the good old-fashioned taking advantage of your neighbor to get a leg up and gain for yourself. You know, you're just doing a deal with your neighbor. Now, as Jesus taught us, everybody's our neighbor, right? So this is anybody we do a deal with. But anytime, like just for example, if we fail to let them know all that they might need to know before they do a deal with us, we're doing that. Why? To get an advantage on them so that we gain at their disadvantage. You know, you remember the Andy Griffith Show? There's an old episode where they decide they were wanting to sell their house. And they had these people to come look at it, and the deal was looking great. And all of a sudden, Opie comes in and starts going, "Dad, did you tell him about the leak in the basement?" Right? And he's like, "Shh, you know, shh, be quiet, son." You know, because that was going to threaten his deal. But if they don't divulge things, you keep people in the dark on things like that. You're doing things to get an advantage on your neighbor so that you can take from them and better yourself. Martin Luther said it like this. He said, We take advantage of our neighbor in any sort of dealing that results in loss to him. This is breaking this commandment. So you see, I could literally go on for a long time, couldn't I? The ways we can steal from each other. No wonder Martin Luther said if you gathered the whole world together in one place, you'd have nothing but a stable full of thieves. It's so true. Many, many ways we break this commandment. And yet, there was a poll taken by Barna that I saw. It said 90% of evangelicals said they don't break this commandment. 90% of evangelicals. Now, you could get real encouraged by that and think, boy, you know, maybe it's the evangelicals that really take this seriously and they really don't, but I think it's just proof of how much they really don't understand what this commandment means. Again, I could go on with the what. There's just endless ways that we steal from each other. And we'll get into some more what actually in a moment. But now I want to turn into the why. Why should we obey this commandment? You know, do not steal. Well, I want to propose just two reasons. First reason is this. We should not steal because of the providence of God. This is what was referring to when we were singing, "Great is thy faithfulness," right? See, God is sovereign, isn't he? At least we say he is. He's in control of all things. And part of that sovereignty and being in control of all things is God has promised to all his creatures, great and small, that he will provide us with what we need, period. This is who God says he is. This is our good God. And so when we trust that, we trust him to give us what we need. But when we steal, we're actually doing the exact opposite of that. We are failing to trust God to give us what we need, when we need it, how we need it. We have taken matters into our own hands and said, "No, I must provide for myself and I'm going to do it this way." And this, we must trust God in his providence to give us what we need. And we must do this in every situation. I remember there was a question that's often posed. Now, the purpose of the question is to challenge moral absolutes. It's why the question is posed. But I must confess I used to struggle with it. And the question was this: is it wrong for a man to steal bread in order to feed his starving family? Right? Now, right away you're like, "Well, I don't want the man to starve, his family to starve. Is that wrong? I don't." And when I struggled with it, what I was failing to put into the equation is God's providence in all situations, right? That man, even that man who thinks his family's on the brink of starvation, must trust the Lord. And if he needs bread, he must go to the Lord. Now, that may require him going to other people, asking them to give out of what the Lord has given them. But you don't steal because that, again, is an affront to God and saying that, "Lord, you won't provide. I must take matters into my own hands," right? Now, see, my struggle with that was all in here, in theory. I'm sure the man that is really in that situation, the struggle would be a great struggle. But this is what faith is. In those hard times, is trusting God at his word, and he will do what he says. So we need to obey this commandment because we trust the Lord and His providence, what He's promised to give us. That's one reason. A second reason we should obey this commandment is because we love our neighbor. Right? If you think about all these, if I said all these are about, the last six are about loving our neighbor. Man, I don't know. This one is one of the greatest about loving your neighbor, because if we're stealing, who are we taking it from? So we often fall into the lie that we're really not taking it from anybody, even when we're taking it from an organization, but we're always taking from our neighbor. And again, all people are our neighbors. Jesus taught us that. And so if we're stealing, we're not loving our neighbor at all, right? We're actually taking God's providence meant for them, and we're taking it for our own use and for our own purpose. And this is the exact opposite of what we've been called to do. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 says, "Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his hands that which is good." Why? So that he may have something to share with him who has need. So this is what God calls us to, not taking from our neighbors, but He actually calls us to give to our neighbors out of what He's given us. This is one of the great purposes for all the providence that He gives us, for all the things that He gives us. One of the great purposes that we would share with others, not take from others. Now, here at this point, I want to make another point that really has to do with the what of stealing, of do not steal. But it's really connected to these whys, and that's why I put it here. I mean, as we think about these two truths, like, okay, God is in control of all things, including all that I have. I mean, is there anything here, sovereignty of God, people, that you have that God has not given you? No, right? So we have to think, everything I have has been given to me. And one of the great purposes that which God has given me what I have is to love my neighbor and to reflect Him. So with these two truths, we have to come to terms with this biblical word called stewardship. All right? What is stewardship? What is a steward? Well, you know what a steward is? A steward is someone who manages someone else's stuff. Someone else's resources, right? A steward has been given possession of things to manage for the other person. And they're not free to misuse it or use it as they see fit. They are to use it according to the master's plan. This is what a steward does. And a good steward uses it as the master has intended for these resources to be used, right? Well, brothers and sisters, guess what we are? We are stewards. Because I just asked you the question, is there anything you have that God did not give you? And the answer is no. Everything we have, period, including our time, our money, our resources, everything that we have has been given to us by God to be used for His purposes. And so part of the what of not stealing is to be a good steward with what God has given us. This is the positive side of the commandment. So that we will love our neighbors and reflect who He is, right? The negative side is all the do not. Don't go in and rob a gas station, right? Don't misrepresent on any form, false claims, whatever. Don't do all that's the negative side. The positive side is whatever God's given you, use it the way He's meant for you to use it. This is stewardship, right? So what does it look like to be a good steward? Well, first, whatever God's given us to manage, we take care of it. We don't let it fall into disrepair. If you can't not do that, if you can't, then get rid of it, right? Because you're not being a good steward of it. It also means don't waste what you have, right? We live in an abundant land, abundant resources, and oftentimes when we have an abundance of things, we get a wasteful mindset. But God's given us these for a purpose. Not just to be wasteful. And this includes small things and big things, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? Kids, this even includes water. You know? Somebody graciously gives us water in the fridge all the time. Just out of the abundance of the heart. That's not even, really public pride. Somebody just does that out of the the abundance of their heart. And it's for you to use. If you're thirsty, that is what it's there for, right? But a lot of times, kids, you know, I'll be at the end of the day, and there'll be two, three, several bottles of water that got about this much drink out of them. And I have no choice but to pour them out, because who are they? I don't know, right? The point is, if you're going to use it, don't waste it. If you're thirsty, drink it. But don't pour it out. That just says, this is what I think of what you're giving me, God. I'm going to pour it out. It's the same thing for us as adults. We've been given a lot and we waste a lot. And I'm not exempt from this. Right? Anytime we use money unnecessarily on things when it could be used for a much better purpose, we're being wasteful too. And I'll give you one extreme example so you know what I'm talking about. Gambling. Man, it's not one of the commandments. There is no thou shalt not gamble, right? But man, it breaks many other of God's principles in the Bible. And one of these is being wasteful and not being a good steward. I'll just throw out a statistic for you. This shocked me. But then it didn't. Did you know that in America, we spend more as a nation on all the various sources of gambling than we do on food and clothing combined? Wow. That is a waste of what God has given us to use. See, the point is, we waste in many ways. If we're going to be good stewards, let's use it for the good purposes as God's given it for us, right? And of course, as I implied, one of the purposes He's given us things is to share with others, isn't it? That's how we love our neighbor. When they have need, you know, actually other people's needs are opportunities for us to display the image of God and share what we have with them. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy what God's given us. That's not what I'm saying at all, right? But the point is, when we've been given as much as we have, we are to always to be looking to give to others, right? True needs. Jerry Bridges, he's passed away a few years ago. He said this about possessions. There's about three ways of looking at it, right? And the first one is, what's yours is mine and I'll take it. That's the thief. The second one is, what's mine is mine and I'll keep it, right? That's the big category where I think most people live. But the third category is, what's mine is God's and I'll share it, right? That's what we're called to as stewards, is to give to others. So what do? Well, we look to what has God given us and who has needs. First of all, in our family, right? Not just who in your house, but in your family. Then that should extend on out to the family of God, right? And then what's the next step? Well, that should extend on out to the gospel and the kingdom work all around this world, right? Williams in India, I like to think about, you know, just give you an example. And then it should extend on out to the poor in the community and the world as well, right? And think about this, brothers and sisters. I love this quote because it's so true. Not only when we give to others generously like that as good stewards, not only does it allow us to do what we're supposed to do with what God's given us, but we're actually laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven. It's actually for our good. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality. I love that quote, right? Because when we have what we have, we recognize as God's and we use it because of Christ, right? Because that's His will for us. Boom, we've laid up for ourselves treasures in heaven we don't even understand, right? So all these temporary possessions get put up into eternal blessing. Now, it's when we fail to see that, right? That's when we fail to be the stewards that God's called us to be. And so, how's that stealing? Well, we are stealing from our neighbor in a way, but we're stealing directly from the Lord, aren't we? He's the one that's given it to us. It's not ours. We often think it is, and myself included. I earned this. I put in hard work for it. It's not mine. The Lord gave me all I have. And that's also true when we waste our time and our gifts and our talents that we even talked about before. God's given us to us for a reason. When we withhold them for ourselves, we're robbing not just others from others, we're robbing from the Lord. That's a serious thing, right? So, brothers and sisters, that's the what and the why of do not steal. It always goes much further than we think, doesn't it? Well, let's get to the how. How do we obey this? Well, first of all, again, we always have to just start with a simple confession before the weight of this word and the weight of the law that, Lord, I'm guilty. I have not kept this commandment. I have broken it before you, right? And we admit our guilt before the Lord. And then let this cause us to turn to the only place of hope that we have, and that's on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that ever obeyed this commandment, never took anything from anybody, only gave. I mean, you look at his life in the scriptures, was he ever not giving? That's all he did. So we got to turn to the Lord who has given us everything already for our provision of forgiveness and righteousness. He's the only one that can give us those things, and he gives them freely. So we must turn to him for the only hope of obeying this commandment, right? But then we have to always come to grips with, okay, if this is true and I have put all this hope on the Christ, I put all my everything I trust in on him and what he did, now I'm his and he's called me to be holy as he is holy. How do I walk in this? Well, I've already covered it, but I'll give these two points again. First is we should practice a life of giving. We should actually look for those ways, right, that we can give to others, because this is the only way that this combats this whole self-focus. Kent Hughes said it like this. He said, every time I give, I declare that money does not control me. Perpetual generosity is a perpetual de-deification of money. And this is so true. When we give, right, we are freeing ourselves from the grip that greed and money and possessions and all those things have on us, because that's what we do when we steal. It's those things that have control of us, and it's all about getting for us, and we don't care who it costs or what it costs them. But if we practice giving, oh, it goes a long way against the self-focus, and it becomes an other focus, right? Again, that can only be done in Christ. Can only be done in Christ. That's why the second thing must be true, and what I've already said is that we must truly trust the providence of God. We must truly trust that God is going to supply us with what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. Because let's face it, if we're stealing, we're completely ignoring the providence of God. We're trusting ourselves and not Him. And this is true even when we hold on to things for ourselves. We may not be going and taking away, carrying away in stealth. But if we're holding on to stuff and not giving it to others, why are we doing that? A lot of times it's out of fear of, well, if I give it away, I might not have what I need when I need it. But if you truly trust God to give you what you need, when you need it, how you need it, it drives out all fear. And of course, part of that providence is always looking to the cross. It's always looking to see what God's already provided, right? I mean, we sang, it's well with my soul. What do we need? What's your greatest need? It's salvation and forgiveness and righteousness that God has already provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look to that and we see that God's already given me everything I need, then how, if I trust Him in that, I trust Him that my soul is well and it's secure, how can I not trust Him in money and possessions and all these temporal little things that we spend so much time fretting about or taking advantage of others for? We must look to the Christ and see that He's already given us everything we need. And if we're truly walking in faith in that, I won't have a need to go and take anything from anybody. I'll just see what my Savior's done and that He's given everything, and I will bear His image and give to others as well. As Jesus told His disciples, right? Freely you've been given, now go freely give. What's the Lord given you? Has He held anything back from you? Has He not promised to give you everything you need? Let's trust it. And then we'll walk in obedience to this commandment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are perfect. And Your law just really shines that into our hearts. And Father, reveals that we're not. But Father, even though we're not and we're so far from You, You have given us exactly what we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, I just pray that You would help us to walk in faith of that. Help us to really trust it. And then when there's those times where we start to fear that we're not going to have what we need, that Lord, You'll settle our hearts. Because You've already given us what we need the most, and why would You not give us what we need all the time? So Lord, help us to have faith. Help us to walk in trust. And then Lord, help us to be those givers that You call us to be and not takers. As we hear in Your word, Lord, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him work so he can give away. That's Your call for us. So help us to see it and walk in faith in it. Lord, I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.